five characteristics of biblical discipline, as we will find in the Bible. If you would open your Bible with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be reading this responsibly. We'll start at verse number 4. Yes, it starts with verse number 4 and all the way through verse 11. All right, so we'll read this. We'll begin first, then maybe I'll ask everyone to stand up to give reverence, the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. Verse 4 says, Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 5. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. For they verify for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Altogether, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exceedingly thereby. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to gather in your house to hear your word. I pray, Lord, that this afternoon as we go through this topic of biblical discipline, we will all humble ourselves before you. We will we'll open our hearts and minds and prepare, Lord, ourselves for things that we need to hear so that we can help our family, we can nurture our family, especially our children, in the word of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would use me as your vessel. I pray that you would empty me of self, cleanse me of sin, so that I can preach with thus saith the Lord. Oh Lord, I know that this afternoon one thing is evident, that we need to hear your word. And so, Lord, help me, Lord, for this great responsibility, for the opportunity to preach the whole counsel of God, that your name will be lifted up in our midst, and we will glorify you and please you in our lives. Help us to have focus our attention in hearing and studying your word this afternoon. And so, Lord, I pray for all of these things and give thanks in Christ's most precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. All right, so I was here when we were having our meeting last Thursday. Pastor Niels encouraged us to define things using the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and Pastor Johnny did that this morning with regards to biblical education. And I would like to do that the same thing because it's quite interesting to see that I did a Google search a while ago, and I looked up the definition of discipline. And I found out, you know, in the 1828, it has the verb form of discipline. Number one is to instruct or educate, to inform the mind, to prepare by instructing in correct principles and habits, as to discipline youth for our profession or for future usefulness. You can Google all this out, but this is the 1828 definition of discipline. Number two, to instruct or govern, to teach rules and practice and accustom to order and subordination as to discipline, like in the troop or an army. Number three, to correct, to chastise, to punish. Pastor Johnny did mention a while ago, you know, when it comes to discipline, it's not always spanking. And that's very true. We find here it's not... It involves instruction. It involves education. To educate, to inform the mind what's correct or what's not, you know. But if you do a Google search now, you would, you know, just ask Google. And the definition that will be given is this. The practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment to correct disobedience. So, can you see the contrast? You know, that's the modern translation. And if you don't believe me, you can Google that later on. I did not include it in my slides because I just did that a while ago. But anyway, so, you know, one thing about discipline, and I would like to preach in including myself as a child growing up in a Christian home, how I understood discipline, okay? So this will actually include my parents, but we will try to see how the Bible defines this, or what are the characteristics of biblical discipline. Because if you ask, if you go to a gathering like this and you ask every individual parent, they all have their different kind types or methods of disciplining. So now the question is, who's doing it right? Amen? But the good thing about the Word of God is everything here is complete. And we can trust it, we can follow it, and we can obey it. And that also includes biblical discipline. So, because you know, when we, most of the times, and this is, I'm speaking as a young preacher, a young pastor, seeing our members in our church, okay, who are parents, and how they train their children, how they discipline their children. So you see a lot of varieties. And when they come up to me and ask, you know, how to discipline their child, I always go back to the Bible. And we believe that the Word of God is infallible, that it's perfect, and it's given to us for instruction, for correction, and so we can trust it, you know. So because sometimes, you know, we ask each other, you know, what do you do, how you do it? Oh, that's a good idea. We should always base it on the Word of God. Discipline, biblical discipline, proper discipline cannot be man-centered. It should be we will find out later more about that. And so, five things. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 to 11, the Bible says, especially in verse 5, he said, "My son." Okay, we need to put out the context that just like the Father, God the Father to us as being the children of God, we should, God is treating us as sons. Amen? God is treating for, and he said this here that, son, for what son? In here in verse 6. Oh, sorry, verse 7. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So those are good principles to start, you know. And we find here five distinct characteristics of God's kind of discipline. All right, so number one, very quickly, the necessity of discipline. The necessity of discipline. The need for discipline. And the goal is, why do we need discipline? To deter destruction. Deter destruction. We can find that in verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, "For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." There's, take note of the word striving against sin. I believe that it were, this is for all of us, you know, child and a parent, young people. We all struggle against sin. Amen? And there should be a struggle against sin. If you're saved, the Bible says the flesh lusted after the spirit lusted after the flesh, and these two are in contrary to one another. And so there is a need for discipline, because if we follow our own ways, you know, the Bible, we heard last yesterday morning, you know, there's a path that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's very true to a child. If you will not guard them, if you will not discipline them, if you will not give instructions to them, they will hurt themselves. And that's why I always say this, you know, it's not not only true to a child, but also teenagers. You know, sometimes teenagers think, you know, they know everything. And I said this during the camp, you know, I like working with teenagers because they're so stupid. And that's true. And I've been there. I was stupid. I mean, you know the thing. Well, you will get hurt, but you still do it anyway. You know, but that's us. You know, I mean, that's the parents here went through the same thing, and that's why, you know, that we should heed to their advice, because they've already done it. You know, but you know, young people nowadays, they say they focus on me. You know, what I want, what I do, what I need. So anyway. Let's go back here in Hebrews chapter 10. No offense, teenagers, okay? I hope you want... You know, hey, Pastor, I don't like Pastor John. I will unfriend him on Facebook later. Please don't do that. I'm here to help you, okay? I'm your friend. All right, okay. Okay, I'll give you a lollipop later. No, hear this. Okay, in verse Hebrews chapter 10... We find here in chapter 10 a strong warning coupled with strong encouragement. We don't have a time to read that, but just give you a little bit of background. Those who shrink back from the faith and God's will are destroyed, by those who persevere receive all that He has promised. And in chapter 11, we see full of examples of those men and women in scriptures. And then we've gone through this through the camp, and I'm really thankful to God that we were able to meditate here, especially here in chapter 11, about Abraham, you know, and all things like that. But, you know, in chapter 12, continues with the encouragement to live a courageous, faithful, and holy life. So the context of verse 4 is the idea that living leads to destruction. Okay, in other words, living without instruction leads to destruction. The message is clear. We can find here in God's word that disciplined lives reap rewards. And I would like to encourage the parents here. Let's open Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. We talk about the heart. Last Sunday, I mentioned a bit about this. And I would like to give some more verses and insight about this issue of the heart. You know, every child, the Bible says, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You don't need to teach a child how to sin. You don't need to teach a child how to do things wrong. They will do it automatically by themselves. Because why? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And it, interestingly, in Proverbs 24, verse 9, he says here, verse 9, the thought of foolishness is what? Sin. So you see, the need for discipline, the need of discipline is to deter destruction. Why? Because there's foolishness bound in the heart of a child, and this foolishness is sin before God. And so it's one of the things that we need to realize, and especially here we find in verse 4, there's a struggle in sin. And I hope and pray that the parents will be sensitive enough, we will be sensitive enough to know if they are struggling. And we've heard some of the things that was said from teenagers, from children. There was one incident that we also did something like that in our church. And it's surprisingly to know that the parents were shocked. You know, they can't imagine that that was in their heart of their child. They cannot even imagine. They thought their child was okay. Their child was doing well, you know, because they were happy, you know. But there was inside of the heart that the parents couldn't see. And we will talk about that later, about, you know, the heart of the child. But there is a need, brethren. There is a need for discipline. The world, nowadays, the world doesn't want us to discipline our children. If you go, when I went to America, there's a lot of cases that, you know, just like what Pastor Neil was, I was surprised that it was, in his time, there's already child, what do you call that, child care support? Like you call somebody when, social service. And I hear that from one of the pastors who was, because of disciplining his child, you know, maybe he did it wrong or what, he was a bit angry and it's considered child abuse, just to spank your children, to spank his child. And he got in jail because of that. So too much about, you know, they say the child has rights, child rights. I believe in the Word of God, there's rights for the child, but, you know, sometimes if you are, for me, when I read about all of these things, it's, you know, you spoil the child if you don't do, if you won't discipline your children, and so, or your child. And so it's one of the things that that we need to also realize. Now, here's one thing. Discipline is about watching your child to see the direction in which he's going. And Pastor Johnny was mentioned that a while back. You know, I'll give an illustration. Why do we need discipline? Why do we? Why is it that there's destruction? You know, a parent, if you don't do discipline, it's like giving your child a key to a car, you know, and say, you know, you go drive, and letting him drive on his own. What will happen if you do that? Will he be like driving so smoothly and like? Well, for sure the car will be wrecked, right? Because there's no directions, there's no instructions, and so action needs to be taken when we see our child take the wrong route, and especially when he's headed straight off a cliff. So this is one of the things that I think every parent would have in his heart. Every parent doesn't want any destruction happens to his child. So from this perspective, discipline, even painful discipline, is actually an expression. It's actually an expression of love. It always seeks the child's best interest. A mature parent can withstand the anger of their child and say, you know, that's okay if you don't love me right now, but this needs to be corrected. So that's number one. Let me go to number two. Number two is the means of discipline. In verse 5, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5, and he have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Let's open Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, my son, similarly, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his, what? Correction. There are two words that are very important here. There's actions and there's words. Here we can find, let me just open this definition and I'll read to you. There's two Greek words, Hebrew words that we can find here. Number one is the word chastening. Okay. The word chastening, it means. It's, I don't know, if musar or something. But it's the definition is a proper chastisement or reproof, warning, or instruction. So you see here the action, okay? And rebuke. It means chastening, correction, okay? Then we have the second word in the same verse, word correction. It means, here we can find argument, reproof for argument, or impeachment, or reproof or chiding. So it's two different, I mean, two synonymous words, but they have two different emphasis. Okay, so the means of discipline is, just like what Pastor Johnny was mentioning, is not always spanking. It's mostly to direct, you know. Many parents are fearful to let their children get hurt. It's not mainly spanking, but it also includes spanking. And we see here when we read that previously in Proverbs 22:15 that the rod of correction, you know, the rod is we should always include that, you know, and you know every parent has different types of rod, you know. I could remember some because of my being too naughty, you know, in our home when there's no rod, you know, my mother sometimes just speak everything whatever she finds. yeah. So, but she. Because I deserve it, by the way, you know. Now looking back, there was this no bitterness in my heart because I deserve it. And you know, if I were, now I'm thinking, if I were the child, why was I like that? You know, I keep thinking, why was I like that? And it's maybe because it's true, the Bible is true, you know, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. I was sharing, you know, one, I'm not proud of it, by the way. Okay, but just to give you an example, an honest thing about myself that, you know, even though especially to the young people here, maybe your parents discipline you in a way that you didn't like, but you know that sometimes they do that, but the thing is that the Bible did say, you know, they do it because they love you. So you have that thought in mind and see in the Word of God how, just like the Father, when He disciplines us as children. You know, there's a lot of things in the Word of God we can find examples that are chastening from the Lord. Alright, so let's move on. I'll get back on some of those details later, but let's move on to number three. Number three, the motive in discipline. And the motive in discipline should always include love. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So, and I grew up knowing this verse. So every time my parents would give me discipline, you know, it may be in the form of other kinds of punishment, like you can do this, you can't do that. I always have that in mind that they are doing this because they love me. And that should be always our thought. But you know, sometimes, just like Pastor Jesse was mentioning, the parent cannot communicate well with the children. And I think that should be important. For you to understand that your parents love you, they give you discipline, there should be a proper communication. And sometimes parents are, because of the intensity of a child's sin or what he has done, sometimes you do it by anger. Instead of expressing love and communication, you know, we do it by anger. And the child, on the other hand, instead of feeling love, he feels bitter. You know, the child feels bitter. And we heard that just a while ago, that when a child was saying, you know, they don't love me. You know, it should be that every time we discipline our child, they should feel, they should understand their sin. They should understand what they have done wrong. So there's a need for communication. You know, and I will share this experience. When I was grade 5, my parents, since we are moving all the time, and I've been to multiple schools, that was the time my parents discovered an ACE school. Okay, and they decided for us to go to that school. And one of the things that I cannot forget about the school is the spanking, because I got spanked a lot. You know, most of the time was spent in the detention room, and you know, I got a lot of demerits. Again, I'm not proud of that, but you know, that's what I did when I went to the school. And for three, I don't know if it's the same in every school, but when you get three demerits, you get one detention. When you get three detention, you get one spanking. And when you the school doesn't really spank, you know, there's a waiver. Before you enroll your kids, you know, discipline, we have discipline here, you know, and most of the time, the teacher, when we get one spanking, the teacher will call the parent, and the parent will, the school will let the parent know that he has violated some things, and the school will ask the parent to come over and spank his child in a private room. But then, if the parent cannot come, then the parent will give authority to the teacher to spank the student. And they did that to me. But for the and when they did that, you know, they don't spank the child like, "Ah, you're so evil! You get through the medicine." Pop, 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 pop. They first, what they did was, our school, they will ask the child to come and sit down and talk first, and the teacher will ask the student, you know, "Do you know why you're here?" And sometimes the first response I get, "Because I was naughty," you know. And then the teacher will explain in detail, you know, what I did wrong, and then there's this punishment. And then after that, the teacher will hug the child and pray with him. And pray, you know, and then after praying, you know, I couldn't remember the first prayer that was ever said to me. It was like, "Lord, I'm about to discipline a student so-and-so, and help me to be gentle, help me to give proper discipline, you know, and so on and so forth." So in my mind, I was running, okay, this will not hurt too bad. So it was like, okay, the sense of relief in my part was like, okay, this, I think they... But then, you know, I felt that peace, you know, although I didn't know what was coming, but I felt that peace that the teacher really cares about me. That he's not, he was not doing, by the way, he's a he, so the teacher was a male, so that was a different story. But I didn't worry. For the first time, I've been spanked really hard, and I was okay. I mean, I had that peace, you know. So, but you know, after a few minutes later, of course, I cried. I was like, oh, I'm not going to do it again. But my point here is that because there was communication, I didn't grow any bitterness against my teacher. And I actually, for the first time in my life, I actually thanked him for doing it. You know, I met him a few years back and say, teacher, I thank you for spanking me a lot of times. You know, it really taught me a lot, you know. And I hope you understand that what I'm getting at. Communication should be, we talk about the means, you know, action and words. It's one of the examples that I can give you because it worked in my life. Effectively, you know, the thing that you don't want to your child to happen is to have bitterness in her, in his or her heart, because you discipline him. So it's important to express love. It should be that. I'll use this illustration, and this is the first because this is the first time I ever heard this. I hope you don't mind, so if I use Michaela. we were talking about something in their house, and we were talking about punishment, and one conversation led to caning, and Michaela just, you know, being happy and smiley, and come to me and said, you know what, my mommy caned me 9 times. But you know, when there's bitterness in their heart, a child would not say that. It means that I don't know how Brother Dan and Sister Zoe do it, but that shows the heart of a child. Please understand that every issue that we face in the family is always a heart issue. And let me say this. Parents, if we do not do things the Bible way, we might lose the heart of a child by disciplining them in our discipline. I talked about this last Sunday to the fathers, but also to the mothers. Guard your children's heart. My son, let's open this. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. The Bible says, my son, the next word is what? Give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. So just like the father asking us, you know, this was written by let me get back on that later. Here we can find the father is asking the child's heart. So the question is, who has your child's heart? Nowadays, friends can have your child's heart. The internet can have your child's heart. Facebook can have your child's heart. And if you're not careful, the heart of our own child, will grow far from us. Just like in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Here, Christ said, you know, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So I think that goes the same way in the family and the children. The heart can grow far from the parent to the child. That's why it says in Proverbs to keep our hearts. Okay. Let's open that. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So we need to, in disciplining our children, we should always have that motive, no? We have that motive to not only express love, but to guard their hearts with all diligence. That's one of the, I think that's one of the responsibility that was given to our parents. Okay? And we need to be consistent in some of the things that we do in regards to disciplining. There's one conversation in our church that I overheard. And because, you know, before I pastored our church, I was involved in the youth ministry. And so the young people are very open with me. And one young people said, "Hey, pastor, I got grounded last night." I said, "Oh, no, how?" And I asked him, "Oh, no, how long? What did you do?" And he replied, you know, they said, "I grounded for 2 weeks." But and then he added, "But it probably just be 3 or 4 days. Don't worry." So there's inconsistency there. And just like Pastor Seng mentioned, you know, young people are very observant. You know, maybe you would see, you know, they don't care about the world, but they actually do. You know, they have a consciousness. They observe many things. And so you need to be careful in the motive and discipline is to express love, and we should be also consistent. All right, so one more, number four. Number four is verse 9 in our text. The Bible says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" All right, so we can see here. Okay, and we need to teach our children godly submission. And just like we read, let's open Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read this a while back, but I'll just read it again just to remind us. This is a very good passage that the goal of discipline should be to teach, you know, to rebuke, and most especially to teach obedience. 6 verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 5 to 9, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." Take note of the word heart. The heart is mentioned here again. "And with all thy soul and with all thy might, and this word which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." So parents, what are we teaching our child when we discipline? Are they even learning something when you discipline them? Or are you just passing punishment because you didn't like what they do? So that's a question to ponder. Verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." You see the talk. Talk of them means there's communication. "When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them upon the sign upon thy for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be a frontlace between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." So here we can see that there should be a heart connection. You know, I was mentioning this with Pastor Johnny, and we need to realize that we need to earn the hearts of our children. And if we're not careful, you know, the world will take that away from them. Just like, for example, if you want to know what's in the heart of your child, maybe you can do a practical thing, like, you know, just like Pastor Johnny. Actually, Pastor Johnny nailed this this morning. You know, ask your children to give you their cell phone and see what will happen. Okay, and maybe you'll get an impression like, "Oh no, my cell phone, no!" And if that happens, then you would know what's in their heart. The heart, what's in their heart is the cell phone. You know, it's amazing for me to see. Although I'm not surprised, but it's amazing for me to see young people will follow their, will obey the advice of their friends, but not their own parents. And I ask, why is that? They care more of what other people will say rather than their own parents. And I think there's a problem with the heart connection. You know, it's not to make the heart of the child happy. Okay, it's not to make the child heart of the child. You know, you give me everything I want. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is that do they trust you? Okay, does your child trust you? So it's one of the things that because if you trust, if you have the trust. If you trust your family, your parents, I think obedience will not be an issue. It can be an issue for some time, but I believe with all my heart that, you know, especially when a child is saved, the Bible did say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there's a promise that in that verse. Let me just read that again. In verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. What's the promise? Verse 3, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Kids, do you want to have a long life? Amen. So the key is what? To obey your parents. Amen? No. But, you know, in the Philippines, I remember the saying, you know, if you want to have long life, eat noodles. I don't know if that's what in Chinese, you know, but I told our young people, you know, you can eat all the noodles you want. If you're a disobedient kid, I always say this, sin always has consequence. Sin always has a price. You may not reap now, but if you will not sow now, but you know, if you sow now, you will reap later, for sure. And so, sin always has a price in our life. So there's the goal of discipline is to teach obedience to our children. We want them to parents should want we want them to get beyond the point that where I say, you know, I've got to do and get them to the point of obeying out of love and trust. Not just because of their rules or list or whatever, but because they love you and they trust you. That's why they obey. Their discipline will be primarily external in the beginning, but eventually it should become internal if they trust you. You know, so you need to earn their trust. And this comes with the issue of also with anger. Let me just give you some verses about anger. You know, if we, you know, anger is. I talked with this with during this Sunday, and let me just open the verse first, and then we will give you some insights about that. Okay. Psalm 37 verse. Okay, let's first. Okay, here and also in Ephesians. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. The Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So you see the word wrath there? It means anger, you know. You should not provoke our children unto anger. Because anger is, I remember one pastor said, anger is actually a hidden sin. You know, I put the context of when sometimes you hear a preacher, when a preacher is angry, you know, the message is different, you know. And most of the times he will scold. You know, it's like scolding his own children in the pulpit. And it's not, that's not good. Let's see what the Bible is says about anger. Psalms 37 verse 8. Psalms 37 verse 8. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So the Bible commands us to cease from anger. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 29. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 29. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 29. The Bible says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalted folly. And just like Pastor Seng, I think, mentioned this before he started, James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, please don't misunderstood me and say, oh, Pastor John told us not to be angry. No, we will get angry eventually. And we should, one of the things that we should be angry about is sin. When we see sin, what do we feel? God hates sin. There's something wrong in a Christian that doesn't love what God loves and doesn't hate what God hates. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. How do you do that? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So, being angry doesn't mean you're sinning, you know, but when you discipline a child because you're angry, if you led by that emotion, you know, you'd end up doing things not God's way. It's amazing that Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1, we can find a very interesting principle here, that the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And again, in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So that includes discipline, especially when we read our text, you know. Even God shows His wrath. How many times do we see in the Old Testament when God showed His wrath on the nation of Israel? But get this, his wrath is holy. And he passed judgment because of sin. And so we need to understand that. One more verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. The Bible says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be what? Angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Wow. How many times when we were angry and we made decision and we made a fool out of ourselves? There's a saying, I don't know if I remember the whole thing, you know, do not make decisions when you're angry. So anger is an issue here in regards to discipline. And I hope one of the results, you know, that the child is bitter is because we discipline them in anger. So here we find that, we're going now to number five. We have the goal of discipline. Is it all there? Yeah, okay. Number five, the result of discipline. Okay? The result of discipline. So not only we have number one, necessity, Then number two, we have means of discipline, the motives in discipline, goals of discipline, but the result of discipline is short-term pain and long-term gain. Verse 10, let's go back to our text, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. And I love this verse. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our what? For our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Okay? So what's the result of when the Lord chastened us, okay, he said when the Lord chastened us, it is for our profit, that we may be partakers of God's holiness. Yeah, because to discipline is to correct sin. Okay? Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be what? Joyous. Okay? And that's very true to us children, you know. You can never find a child, you know, smiling, you know. Then the parent will just spank them. They say, more. No? But say here, but grievous. But catch this. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that which are exercised thereby. So there's a blessing. Okay? There's a long-term gain. I said this before. The reason we don't like to discipline our kids sometimes is because it involves short-term pain. We're sympathetic to their feelings, and we never enjoy hurting them. And I believe that, you know, there are so many times my mom would say when she spanks me, and it hurts me more to see you to get hurt than me doing the caning, you know. And I don't know how many times she said that I'm still doing bad stuff. But anyway, the key here is no parent enjoys hurting their child. But don't get too much, wrapped up to the short-term pain. You know, God created our rear end for a reason. You know, but you know, there's no bones in here. You know, that's why it's the perfect place to do the caning. And even though we get hurt, you know, in verse 11, we can see that it acknowledged the pain, but it's not pleasant, it's painful, but there's a process involved. Those who have been trained by it yield to the fruit of righteousness. So, I hope and pray that this will give some light and, you know, what do I do to discipline my children? I hope this will help us. And Pastor Johnny will be dealing with this in a short moment about practical sense, you know, because I don't have a child to spank yet. So, yeah. But it's, you know, one of the things, you know, it doesn't matter. This is a blessing to me. And I'm really glad I'm here in the conference because I learned a lot. And this will prepare me for the future. If God will give me a family of my own, I have some things to hold on and to teach and to, you know, see, young people, you'll get there eventually. Amen? Don't be hasty, you know. the Lord, that's the pattern, you know. That's the pattern we see. There's a parenting myth. And it says here, discipline requires parents to penalize their child as payback for an offense. That's a myth. Okay? The reality of parenting when it comes to discipline means applying appropriate consequence to encourage a child to make better choices in the future. And it should not be that when we punish a child, okay, or discipline a child, it should not be to inflict penalty for an offense, but to train for correction and maturity. It should not be, the focus should not be because of past misdeeds. You know, the father, if you forgive your child for their offense, we should forget it. You should forget about it. Don't bring it up next time. You know, and put up a list, you know. This is your 195 offense. I hope you do this. I don't know. I think no parent does that. But don't bring up past misdeeds. But the focus of discipline should be future, to correct future acts. Okay? In regards to discipline, punishment, the attitude is hostility and frustration on the part of the parent. But when biblical discipline is done, there is love and concern on the part of the parent. And I hope and pray that, you know, when we discipline our children, at the end of the disciplining, your child will still hug you and kiss you and say, I love you. And that will only happen if we will follow God's word. Last thing, punishment. When there's punishment, there's fear and guilt. But when there's discipline, there's security. Okay? The result and emotion on a child is fear and guilt. But if you do it God's way, discipline is giving the child security. So just to wrap up in conclusion, you know, parents, what do you want for your child? What do you want for your child? Let's open, I hope and pray that you will, this will be your prayer. 3 John chapter 1 verse 4. Or verse 4. I hope this will be your motivation or goal in your parenting as you discipline, as you give proper discipline and biblical discipline to your children. I hope that this will be the result. Now, verse 4, can I ask the parents to read this? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Pastor Johnny mentioned about the truth. What is truth? John 17:17, sanctify us with your word, thy word is truth. And, you know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Bible did mention about the whole duty of man to fear God. Let me just read that for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The Bible says here, 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And my prayer for us, all of us here, will be that we should seek good success. I mentioned this morning. And we can only achieve good success in disciplining if we will meditate, if we were guided by the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way, what? Prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Just a thought here. Do you know that there's a bad success? Bad success is doing things not God's way. You know, there are so many people out there who are very successful in life, but they don't know God. So many things that they do, you know, I come here to Singapore, see all the marvelous infrastructure and all the systems here, and just like what Pastor Johnny said, you know, they come to a school where they don't promote God. But, you know, in the eyes of the world, they're successful. But true success will only come when we meditate. The Bible says, the book of the law, will not depart out of our mouth, and shall meditate therein day and night. So if you want to have good success, you can find it here. And so that's our session for this afternoon. I hope that blessed your heart, and I pray that we will all glorify the Lord in our families. Okay, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, that it has the power to change us, to remind us, to correct us from our mistakes and from our sins. And help us, Lord, to continue to humble ourselves and submit ourselves upon your word so that we would obey them and apply them in our lives. Continue to bless us as we wrap up things in this conference. And so that all of these things, Lord, we ask and give thanks in Christ's most precious name. Amen.